You know, the good news is this, and I want to hear some good news, even out of a fun kind of song like this. There is a place for those who believe to reside, and that's called heaven. Let's pray. Lord, we've had a week, but You, God, haven't changed. Lord, in spite of what went on in Virginia Tech and a lot of other crazy things that have gone on in our lives in the past 7 days since we were here last, God, we give praise this morning because You have not changed. You are the same loving, redeeming, restoring, regenerating, new life God You were this Sunday as You were last Sunday and You will be next Sunday. And so God, we just want You to hear from Your people that we know You are God and You sit on the throne and You are the King of Kings and You are stability. And so God, we just pray that You speak truth in our lives and we would be receptive to it. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's amazing to me. How many of y'all know when I use this big word what it means? Sovereign. Sovereign. The sovereignty of God. It simply means this. God is the beginning and the end, and God is everything, and God knows it, and God is with us. And God's a good God. You know, and we got to answer some tough questions this morning. How in the world can such hideous evil happen? Because God said it would. God said it would. And so church, you know, here's where I was a little bit different with Monday's events. I was not surprised that it happened. I mean, we've given kids enough violence from the time they're born to the time they're age 20. They've seen more violence on video games and movies and TV, and they've digested more violence than most veterans coming out of a war. So why would you be surprised where one of them picks up and says, you know what, I'm going to bring the fantasy life that I have into the realm of reality. Death is real. I think we need to pray, man, and my heart goes out. I guess because I'm older, my heart goes out to the parents that have lost their students that they held such dreams and hopes in. My heart goes out to people that lost their lives this week and they had nothing to do with losing their life. In fact, watch this. I want you to know that evil, I cannot use the words because it would really make you all scream real bad if I used the blatant words that I would have to use to describe the vileness of evil. But you know it now. You've seen it on TV. And this time it wasn't a movie. You've seen it twice in TV. Within 5 years, you saw absolute evil drive planes into a tower and destroy human life. And you've seen absolute raw evil pick up a 9mm and a .22 caliber pistol and take the lives of human beings in a classroom without no remorse, none whatsoever. And I was amazed because, you know what, I'm looking at my colleagues, fellow preachers, and you know what, I became incensed. Because none of them had the guts to say, this boy was possessed by evil. There is a real devil and there's a real evil and there is evil. This was not about his environment. This was not about social, economic situation. This was about pure, undefiled evil. And the reason we can't speak that word is because secular humanism doesn't have an answer for evil. It has an answer for problems, but not an answer for evil. This is evil. And there is evil. I was not surprised. There's evil today going on. There's evil in Iraq right now. In Iraq right now. I want to remind you of something. We're at war. We've been at war for several years now. War. Those little newsreels that you see where it shows real cars that blow up in a real way, and you see that number, 21 killed today, 36 killed today, 40 killed today with this suicide bomber, you and I are up against real evil. You see, I'll call it what it is because I'm not trying to be elected. I found out you get a lot more freedom when you're chosen and not elected. Make sense? And God, by His grace, has chosen us to be His children. Now, I think where we're in a dilemma, it's time to be His children. Make sense? Now, I don't know if we can stop all kinds of evil, but I tell you this, I know we can hinder it. We may not stop it all, but we need to at least be a giant speed bump in its way. And the way we're going to do that is, guess what? We're going to learn to love one another. Now, you all tell me about God. This sermon series was put together first week in October, 06. And let's see what our text is today. You ready? This is why I preach like this, so when you all get ticked at me, you can't say that I know what was going on last week and I brought it up. So if you get ticked here at Hillview, email God. That's god.com.universal.org. And He's glad to answer back at any time. I think He's already answered back. I'm God. Look what He said. This is the message you've heard from the beginning. You're aware of this. If you're around God, this is the point. This is the message. This is what people act like that follow Jesus. Okay? We should love one another. What's the objective? Love. Just look at the person next to you and go like this. I'm going to love you. Tell them, I'm going to love you. Come on, I'm going to love you. Tell them, I'm going to love you. Oh, come on, kick it up. I'm going to love you. Even if I don't like you, tell them. See, even if I don't like you, I'm going to love you. Elizabeth will stand up and confess that real quick. All right, look at here. Now watch this. Now, I want to get here because this has gotten serious. You see, we need to understand, guys. Listen. Now I know you all take up beds how long I'm going to be over here talking to y'all. But I'm going to tell y'all right now, you all better check out your minds, because I'm telling you, we haven't done a good job teaching y'all truth. I'm going to say something. It's in the Bible. Okay? It's in the Bible. This young man, this killer, what was his rant? He was terrified. Mad angry at everybody that had been successful. You know why? The worst thing you can do in America today is be your best. You want to be penalized in American culture today? Succeed. It ain't about winning anymore. And winning's not the objective here. But let me tell you something that you better get as the objective. Excellence. And it'll be 5, 6, 7, 8, a lot of cold days in hell before any shallow theologian convinces me that God hadn't called every human being and created every human being to excel at what they do well. That's God intended. Started from the very first story of God. In the very first dimension, He says what? We should love one another. Now, I'm going to tell you what. It's real easy to come together. You want to know when you love? I see everybody come together when somebody fails. It's real easy to get a room full of losers together to be sympathetic with one another. I'm kidding you not. We lost too. But boy, I tell you what, you want to talk about love. Love comes when you can celebrate someone else's success. Boy, now that's... Eric, I don't see that in the culture you and Shane are speaking into. Mm-mm. Watch this. Here's what I found. The lousier you are, the more we honor you. Listen, you're not going to hear this pastor tell you that thugging and banging and running around and just doing whatever you want to do is going to bless your life, because it ain't going to bless your life. Where do you think this kid got this image? It wasn't off Bugs Bunny. Because he'd been wearing one of them funny hats like Elmer Fudd with a big gun. Where'd he get that image? America! Movies, I'm going to be the hero. And see, here's what's this. And then guess what? The media fell for him. You may tell you, I'm going to really blow you all away. You know what? We should have put a picture up with him dead. And gone ahead and spoke into what evil really does. See, we don't want to get to the truth, though. Guess what? Evil killed this boy. Evil consumed him to the point that this young man lost his life. The problem is this time evil very randomly took out a bunch of innocent life with it. Here's the problem with evil. It's not personable. It's community oriented. But you and I, we've developed a society where everybody has their rights. How you like them now? Well, how many? Some of y'all are involved in the university setting here. You're professors and stuff. In 1950, some of y'all could tell me here. In 1950, if a student had written a hideous work like he wrote about the degradation and the abomination and taking out humanity, guess what they would have done with that student? Expelled him. And when he brought his lawyer in for the defamation of his character, they'd have kicked his rear end too. They'd have said, we're not going to have that in our world. But today the university was scared to death, as they should be, because everybody's got a right, so everybody's right gets violated. And I'm going to tell you the truth. God never talks about our rights. He talks about righteousness. God's greater than the Bill of Rights. He's a God of righteousness. Maybe we need to quit looking at all of our rights and change our question in the 21st century and ask a deeper question that requires God, what is right? What is right? What is right? He tells us to love one another. He said, those of us that are going to be bold enough to say, hey, I follow Jesus Christ. He says, you love one another. And he said, and do not be, check this out. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. Notice how easily that came off the lips of this writer. Cain, why did Cain murder his brother Abel? You remember that story? He's mad at the guy that did it right. Ticked. Angry. Incensed. Now I want y'all to hear me as young people. I want you to hear me real good. Not all people. Did you hear that? Not all people. Repeat that with me so I say this correctly. Not all people. But most people that have done nothing get nothing. Don't forget that. If you don't study all semester, and if you make all F's, that is your fault. That's not your mama's fault. That's not your daddy's fault. That's not your DNA's fault. That's not the society's fault. That's not my fault. That is your fault. I have just spoke a new source of information to most of our young generation. Watch, I'm going to freak you all out. Do you realize now in corporate America, this is a true story. I had a buddy of mine that works in corporate America, works in human resource. This is a true story. It does not amaze me, though. We have mommies and daddies of now 24 to 25-year-olds going to corporate America to the supervisors of their little children who can't do anything because they've never had to do anything. And now they have this thing called a boss. And the boss could care less who their mom and dad is, care less what their last name is, care less where they graduated from college. And the boss has written things like this on their valuation. Lazy. Unproductive. Does not get to work on time. Leaves early. Does not complete task. Does not finish work appropriately or responsibly. And moms come in and said, how dare you speak this about my child? See, they think they're back at Pee Wee League. They think they're back at school where they walked up to the teacher and said, why did my child make an F? Probably because they didn't do their work. Because I know in our public high schools, the only way you can make an F is you have to like apply yourself to failure. You have to decide to do absolutely none of your homework. You have to decide to absolutely never sign your name to a test. You have to make sure that you do absolutely nothing so they will fail you. You have to make an effort to fail. Because I found this, I know. If you will do your homework, they will think highly of you. True? Watch, it's a new world. Now, I'm going to show you. You say, why are you going through all this rigmarole, Harris? Here's why. It started a long time ago, right here in this scripture. Look at here. He said, don't be like Cain, who murdered his brother. He belonged to the evil one. And why did he murder him? Because his actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. And we get mad when that goes on. Watch this. You know why? How many of y'all care? This probably doesn't apply here. Let's say you got cancer. Let's say you had cancer. People here have had cancer. We've had to battle that. Let me ask you a question. Do you care how much your oncologist makes when you have cancer? I'd care less. In fact, I want her or he to make at least $1 million a year. Because I don't want no cheap doctor working on me. How many of you walk in to the hospital and go like this? I want the cheapest, mediocre doctor you got in the facility. Huh? You don't do that, do you? How many of you're fixing to have a heart attack? Give me the discount heart surgeon. I mean, you don't want the big lots, boy, when you're going on your own heart, do you? Why do you want the best? He's the best! Or she's the best! A lot of times it's she's the best. I never will forget Dr. Stanfield. Well, I didn't know Dr. Stanfield, but they tell this story on him. This was the early days. This is in the 20s or 30s of the 20th century, 1930s. Stanfield's got a heart problem. Heart procedures are new. He's up in Louisville. He's a president of seminary. And they said, now, Dr. Stanfield, here's the way it goes down. That we got an average heart surgeon, and he's a Christian. And he said, we got a brilliant heart surgeon, and he's an atheist. He's the best there is. He said, I tell you what, give me the atheist, and I'll do my own praying. See, when he needed a heart surgeon, he didn't need a Bible study teacher. He needed a what? He's a pretty smart guy. He wanted the guy who's done with excellence. Now, I want you to know, look what he says. Where does this chaos start? One person has said evil actions and one person has said righteous actions. And instead of Cain repenting, he rebelled. That same form, that's what you saw Monday. Instead of a child saying, Lord Jesus, how in the world can I get a groove? How can I find myself? Where do I fit in this big crazy thing called life? That person got jealous of what everybody else had, and that jealousy became a rage, which became a deep bitterness, which eventually became a possession, which eventually became so possessed with it that he was willing to very calculatingly take out other human lives. And don't tell me the boy was messed up. You're not messed up when you can go shoot two human beings, walk rationally into the mail room at the university, mail a package to NBC News with the exact material that he knows. This is a very brilliant individual because he knows exactly what the media is going to show all week long so that everybody else will get spurred on about it. And everybody else that's done nothing with their life can become a 5-day media blitz by taking out other human life. Who's still operating? The evil one, exactly right. When you open the evil one's box open, here's what the evil one will do. Kill you. Officer, isn't that right? You've seen it on the streets. Part of what you battle is people making bad decisions. The other part of what you battle is people being obsessed with evil. It's real. I mean, I just want y'all to know it's real. Y'all okay with that? It's real. Now, you can pretend it doesn't exist, but guess what? It exists! You know, sometimes I pretend like I'm in Florida here in Bowling Green in February, but guess what? I'm still in Bowling Green. Sometimes I just go to the beach in my mind, I go, and then I walk outside and I go, ooh, it's there. It's real! Evil's real, and it wants to kill you. Y'all got that? Here's what happened to Cain. Now, guess what he told us? If you're going to do the right thing, if you're going to move, and here's what I'm asking you all to do. I don't think you need to be obsessed with winning, but I think you ought to present yourself as excellent before God in everything that you do. Amen. Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all want me to halfway prepare for a sermon? No. I try to do my best every Sunday. Sometimes it's better than others. But I try to do my what? I think we ought to try to do our best with our marriages. I think that needs to be reclaimed. And I'm going to give you another word that needs to be reclaimed, in my opinion. Work. W-O-R-K. Work. Let me help you. Those who work hard have more than those who work little, and they should. Period. You say, well, now watch, hold on. No, you don't have to clap about that. Just listen to this. You say, is that biblical? You better believe it's biblical. Go read the parable of the talent. That's in red letters too. That's spoken by the master that died on the cross. That's spoken by the guy that jumped up out of the grave. That's spoken by Jesus Christ, Son of God. And it's going to blow you away because guess what he did? The dude that did nothing, that he had was taken away. There's warning after warning after warning after warning after warning. Did I tell you? After warning in that Bible about another sin we haven't talked about in about 100 years. It's called slothfulness in the King James. It's called laziness. It's called not giving what you're supposed to give. It's the first story. What did Abel do? He brought the first fruit unto God. He said, you are my God. I love you deeply. You've made everything. You are worthy of my best, my excellence. What did Cain give? What he had. He didn't put any thought into it. He just gave him a little bit of what he had. How many of y'all kind of live life like that? You just give enough to get by. Don't ever do that. Just enough to get... How many of y'all just want enough to get by? Come on. How many of y'all have ever coasted through a day? I have. How many of y'all have skipped class before? Guess what I was doing when I was skipping class? Shortchanging somebody beside myself. Because see, when I was skipping class that day, watch this. I was sinning that day. I was skipping class. I was not living up to the responsibility of that moment in my life. Because here's what I was doing. When I was skipping class, guess what I said? It's sunny today. I want to go play today. I want to go do something else today. Most of the time I said, I want to go to the lake today. There was no way I was going to become a marine biologist. There was only one reason I was going to the lake, and that was to do what? Please my moment. Well, come on, how many of y'all want to please your moment? That'll always lead you into the prayer of the evil one. What did this young man do in Virginia Tech? He did what he wanted to. He expressed himself. He let it all out. How do you like it? Now, we're all for freedom of expression until the bullet comes into our yard. See, somewhere you got to say, guess what? We can't do everything we want to do. We can't do everything we want to do. If everybody gets to do everything they want to do, then guess what we've said? See, here's what those who believe that philosophy forgot. They don't believe in an evil one. How many of y'all believe in an evil one now? Yeah. He's the devil. He stinks. He's evil. He's vile. He's nasty. And he'll get nastier. He's nasty. I'm from down south. Nasty. He kills people. Watch. Sin is what? Death. And Jesus doesn't want you to die. That's why he said, now for those of you who are going to follow Jesus, you need to love. And he said, don't be surprised, brothers, if the world hates you. There are a lot of people, guess what? I'll get some emails off this sermon because I made a stand. People hate it when you make a stand in the 21st century. They go, well, you offended me. And then there's people like me that go, so? See, I don't think being offended is a bad thing. I think everybody needs to be offended. Being offended helps me think. And you know what? I don't live offended. Lord have mercy. If I had to stop, I guess when you don't have a job, you got a lot of time to think about how many times people offend you. Go to work! And then you won't be offended much because you'll have what you want and what ticks you off. And everybody, I'm serious. There's some real. And don't tell me there aren't any jobs available. I'm tired of hearing that junk. I said for 20 years there's jobs available, and 25 million Hispanics people have found most of them. Now, what's not available is $30 an hour jobs to high school graduates. They're not available. $30 an hour job is not available to most college graduates. They're not available. You know why? Because you have to do something to get there. Gee! Now, guys, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You did that. But I want you to know that we are totally raising a generation in America that thinks like Cain. I can do as little as possible and deserve the same reward as Abel. Eric, you seen that in youth ministry? How many of the youth come up? I watch this. I bet you've done this one time. I remember this. You set a deadline for an event. And you had some kids that decided to break the deadline, and you held to the deadline, and they needed therapy for 7 weeks after that moment, remember? They were just appalled, and their parents were worse than them. Parents were coming and going, Pastor Eric, you don't love Jesus. These kids need this event. Well, if they needed that event, when did they need to get in that event? Huh? Within the... See, watch this. See, here's what amazes me. Christians only think it's important that day. Loving people is important. Now guess what? How do we deal with this? It's a whole different deal. How many of y'all are waiting for the same sob story we usually get? This kid was left out, didn't have a family life. He's been put on street road bum. Nobody loved him. Nobody would talk to him at the dorm. Nobody would reach out to him. Uh-oh, we got a problem, Houston. This is not this story. This kid's got parents that are loving him, trying to love him. His roommates in the dorm, what did they try to do? They tried to AT&T him. They tried to reach out and touch him. What did they do when they tried to embrace him and touch him and love him? What did he do? He said, I don't have anything to do with you. He rejected opportunity. See, sometimes people are going to reject opportunity. Let me ask you a question. What happens to people that reject the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have one go to hell over here? Anybody in the back here? Anybody know? Come on, church, please. Don't be silent on this. Please, this is the time to speak up. We've been silent for the last 150 years. Y'all okay with what's going on? People that do absolutely make up their mind to reject Jesus Christ, what is their final destiny? Hell. Good. I want you to know that. But we don't want anybody to go there. How many of y'all understand Jesus does not want people to go to hell? But telling people there's not a hell doesn't make it not exist. Pretending evil's not real doesn't make it go away. We've been living in that fantasy for at least 100 years. Somewhere down the line, we got to say, you know what? There's evil, and I believe Jesus Christ to be the solution through it. But somewhere there's got to be evil. Now, I know when we'll be real alarmed about it in Bowling Green. Officer Mitch, guess when we'll get alarmed about it in Bowling Green? When it happens here. Then we'll be like, oh, how could this happen? Oh, my baby. I get so tired of hearing that. Why didn't you stand up to your baby when he started doing drugs? If you loved your baby, why didn't you stand up to him when they were 2 years old and they sassed you the first time? That's when you straighten them out. If you love your baby. Come on, I'm going to preach a little bit today. It's time to get real. Kids, I don't want to offend you all, but guess what you all are? Kids. And as long as your parents pay for you, we're in charge. When you pay for yourself, you're in charge of yourself. Not until then. That's cool. We're glad to pay for you. We're happy about it. We're glad to have you take all of our money. It's okay. We love you that much. But guess what? As long as we're paying, we're saying. And even big old cool bad Blake, he's had to hear this before. You come in, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I said, I'll tell you what you're going to do. Not! He'll go, why do you act like this? I said, he who holds the gold makes the rules. And I said, and you broke. Now one day I'll be old, and guess what I'll say? Blake, I'm going to do it. And he's going to go, not. And I'm going to go, I'm going to take his walker and put it upside your head, boy. He's going to go, not. And then he's going to look at me and he's going to go, he who holds the gold makes the rules. And that's good, because I probably won't have no sense in. And I'll need him to have what? Sense. Does that make sense? It's okay to have boundaries, guys. Listen, I'm about to finish up. We're going to get out of here. God loves you. Y'all ready to love people? Parents, loving people means saying no sometimes. It's wanting the best for your children. It's wanting to stay in... I want to just show you something here. Jealousy cost the life of a brother. And he said, don't be surprised. We know that we pass from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Listen, love. Quit being jealous of one another. I'm so tired of hearing about jealousy. I'm so tired. Watch this. I'm so tired of hearing about race. I don't know what to do. I love all human beings. I could care less how these painted. Your paint job does not determine your destiny. I'm telling you the truth. The color of skin has nothing to do with the problem of sin. You see, we're all going to be equal one day. Guess what? White people, black people, yellow people, green people, combos, all the different colors we got today are all going to the same hell. We do have combos. What is this? If you're an American, you are from the Humane Society. Lord have mercy. That's what an American is. A little bit of everything. And what you can hope for, I mean, I get so tickled all the time people walk around going, I'm mixed. I go, listen, I'm really mixed. I ain't got a hole of nothing. It's a fourth of everything. Like, see, it doesn't matter how you put together. Hold on, I'm going to preach a little bit here. It matters how you've been re-put together. So, see what I'm saying? But I'm tired of hearing about it. Any of y'all tired of hearing about it? I'm just tired of hearing about it. I'm tired of people telling me they can't make it because of their pigmentation. I'm tired of people telling me they can't make it because of their social position. You live in America. We have something that very few countries have, very few, public education. Did you realize you can come from a poor family and you still get to go to school? And guess what? If you take advantage of that school, did you know in our nation, if you make real good grades for the first 12 years, we will literally pay for you to go on the next 4 years. And if you make real good grades and superior kind of grades in those 4 years, guess what? We'll pay for you to go on and specialize and become the best. Our tax dollars are in motion for that to go on. No other country like that exists. I don't know about y'all, but last Tuesday I made sure that was going to happen for some people. And every rest of you that worked and paid your taxes, you made sure that was going to happen to some people. I'm glad to pay my taxes knowing that some of that money takes care of people that don't have a shot. That excites me. That excites me. It really does. I'm glad. I want to see people get better that don't have a what? Shot. Now, I'm just going to tell you where I stand. People that have an opportunity to do nothing with it, I have absolutely no mercy. If you're healthy and able-bodied and got a good mind and you want to sit there because you want to make $15 an hour and you can only make $7 or $8 an hour at a moment and you'd rather sit there and have nothing than have something, then what can you do with a person like that? Now it got quiet in here, didn't it? Because let me ask you a question. If nobody was paying you for doing nothing, what would you have to do? Something. See, people grew up. Guess what? I'm going to blow y'all away. As short as the 1930s, coming out of the Depression, there was no assistance. There was no assistance back then. So if you had a bum leg, let me show you how you shoveled. But guess what you did? You shoveled. So we got people on Medicaid that have a broke pinky. I'm telling the truth. We pay people to be alcoholics in our society today. We'll put them on. They say, oh, they got a problem. Yeah, they drink. They need to quit. Because when they quit, they'll be sober, they'll be able, they'll be blessed, they can go on. Now you understand. Now see, as Jesus people, guess what? I'm talking about really loving people. And let me tell you, because he says, love one another. And don't be like Cain, who gets so mad he wants to kill. I don't want to kill anybody, but I want to help everybody. But let me show you something. Love's not what you think it is. Here's love defined in our moment of culture. Just accept everybody as they are and demand no change. That's not the gospel. The gospel takes us where we are and changes us toward heaven. That's good news, isn't it? How many of y'all find that to be good news? I'm not going to be what I used to be now. Let me finish up here. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Let me give you the facts. It's what the Bible says. If you're full of hate and despise for humanity, hell is awaiting you. You got to love people. How many of y'all found this? People do stupid things. How many of y'all live with this reality about yourself? I can do a stupid thing any moment. How many of y'all can confess it to yourself? I have the capability of making a stupid decision. I could do something that I really didn't need to do. I could hurt the things that had been built up in my life. I am capable of making stupid decisions. So I got to be aware of who I am. But if I depend on God, guess what I will do? I will make righteous decisions. Does that make sense? Has this made any sense today? I'm about done. Has this made any sense today? Now, so what? Let's sum it all up. What am I asking you to do as a church? I'm asking you to love the hell out of people. That's what I'm asking you to do. But before you can love the hell out of people, guess what? You got to let Jesus love the hell out of you. And then you're not going to be full of what? Hell and hate. People get mad at people. Was it? I'm telling you guys. Look at junior high girls over here. Y'all need to chill out and quit being jealous of one another. I've been doing youth ministry now for 25 years. There's nothing meaner than 7th or 8th grade girls that get crossed up with another girl. Am I not telling the truth? Am I not telling the truth, girls? Y'all, I'm not telling the truth. Meaner than any soldier. In fact, we ought to send y'all over to Iraq and they'd quit today. Just send junior high girls over and say, we're going to unleash these girls if y'all don't call the truce right now. Yeah. If we had women soldiers, it'd be all over. Because all we got to do is just tell, you know, go tell the enemy, said the enemy said this about y'all. You just get a couple of platoons of women soldiers and say, hey, that boy over there said y'all have gained 5 pounds apiece. They're dead men right there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Guess what? We got to quit being mean. Let me just give you three things that I think we need to work on if we're going to love one another. First of all, appreciate when people do well. I don't think we do that. I don't hear that. I don't hear it at all. Appreciate when people do well. I think you need to brag on these young people. I'm not talking about positive reinforcement. I'm talking about when they do well, they need to be honored. And when you don't do well, you need the reality that you didn't do it. So you know the truth. You know, when you come in, your parents, and you say, well, man, I got an F. You go, you know why you got an F? Because you didn't do your work. And since I'm a good parent, what I'm going to arrange for you the next 9 weeks is plenty of time for you to do your work. Because you ain't going nowhere but school in this house for the next 9 weeks. I guarantee you, you'll make an A. You know how I know? Had that experience. What's this? Number two. All people have something great to give the world. How many of y'all believe that? Now guess what? That's got to be more than one of these little things you put on your desk, you know? All people are wonderful. You got to start living like all people are wonderful. I love Hillview. This is a crazy place. I mean, look around. They ain't none of us alike. That's what I love about it. But all people got something. All people have something worthy to give. I believe that. That's why I pastor a church like this. People look at me all the time. We got pastors that visit here and they go, man, that's a weird place. I said, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. That's just got all kinds of different people here. I don't want the same kind of people here in one place. Heaven's not going to look like that. It's going to have many different expressions. So everybody's got something worthy to give. How many of y'all can believe that? I saw a human being do this. I've got two human beings in my life that have actually done this in the name of Jesus Christ. One of them was my grandmother and one of them was my mama. I wish I could live with like my mama. My mama never sees a bad human being. Even this week. How evil possessed that young boy's mind? Her question was, where did he miss the love of God? My grandmama would have said, that poor boy didn't realize somebody loved him. My question is, are we getting that message out to the world that Jesus loves them? And see, I think we're not, this is the third thing. We need to get clear in the gospel. I don't think people are hearing the gospel anymore. See, this is the gospel. You and I have sinned. We have messed up really bad. We are jerks before God. We stink. Does that help? I'm using some common terms here. We don't get it right. We've broken the Ten Commandments. We stand in odds toward God because of our outright disobedience. Now that's the facts. Now here's the grace. Even though we are like that, God chose to love us. Make sense? And Jesus came and He died on a what? And He's risen from the grave, and what does He say? I love you so much, if you will believe in me and ask me to forgive you, what will I do? Says Jesus. I'll forgive you. So you don't have to go where? And you don't have to live like hell, and you don't have to think like hell, and you don't have to breathe in death. But now you can be full of eternal life. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. Love one another. And this is the message from the cross. Love them as I have loved you. So in spite of sin, we need to see that God can recreate life. Amen? All right. I'm finished. Any questions? One last verse. Brothers, sisters, this is how they will know us, by the love of God. And here's what He says. You ready? We're going to stop here. This is how we will know what love is. Jesus laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Even in a tale of absolute terror this week, there was a God, and there were people that loved like Jesus. A professor, 76 years old, aeronautic engineering. Brother did well all of his life. A Holocaust survivor. He had made it through a treacherous terror of his own journey of life. He did what the Bible talks about when it says sometimes you got to stand in the gap for somebody else. And He took His 76 years and He stood in the gap and He gave His life of 76 years so some 20-something years old lives could go on and have a shot at a happening. That's laying it down. How many of y'all would have done that? Young parents, guess what this means? Watch this. You want your kids to grow up spiritual? You get them in church. Yeah. You say, well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I'm raising two of them. Yeah, I do understand. What you don't understand is we say no to a lot of things. When they have them on Sunday, guess what? We're not going to be there. Yeah. Yeah. We've raised an athlete. He wasn't there. If they called Sunday morning practice at 8 o'clock, guess what? They were missing their starting quarterback. Since they knew that, they didn't call practice at 8 o'clock on Sunday. See how it works? See how it works? If you do excellent in what you do, people will listen to who you follow. Somebody needs to write that one down. Write that one down, Elizabeth. I can't spell all those words I just said. If you do excellent
at what you do, somebody will want to know who you follow. So guess what? Part of love is not being mediocre. It's being loving. It's going beyond. It's laying down our lives. Here in the future, I'm going to ask you to lay down your life a little bit. We got to get a building built. I hate buildings, but we got to have one. I'm going to ask you to lay down some change so we can get this building up so we got room for these kiddos on Wednesday nights. Okay? I'm lovingly getting irritated. I really just think it's a shame in this size congregation, with the blessings that we have in this size congregation, that we should have to wait very long to put anything up. There are Jaguars and Hummers in our parking lot. Praise God, I'm all for that. Hallelujah. But let's get it done for these kids. Makes sense? It's a building for the kids. And some of the parents are going, well, I may not see my kids in there. Your grandkids will be in there. It's about sharing with one another. It's not about you and it's not about me, but it is about people getting to Jesus Christ. I had two questions to Virginia Tech Experience. One was answered. Was this young man exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yes, he was. So thank God that he was exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have a great wondering question. Out of the 33 people that died, one of them wasn't a Christian. I'm going to help you all discern things. The gunman wasn't a Christian. I don't care how many times you dipped him in the water. I don't care how many times you blessed him. Y'all going to hear the truth. People that know Jesus don't kill people. See, now you know. See what I'm saying? Somebody needs to say it. I'll stand with Jesus on that one on day of judgment. I'll stand good with it because here's what His Word says. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. What do you not understand about that? I don't see clause B, subject A. This isn't like doing your taxes. There's not an exemption. Because guess what? If he had the love of God in his heart, what would he have done? Not take an innocent life. Cold-blooded murder. Here was my question. How many of those students went to eternity when a bullet from an evil man struck their existence? I think about them because I know a lot of them were waiting. You know, Shane, Erica, those of y'all that walk, we all work in youth ministry, you know, we talk about that. Everybody waits. One day, someday, I'm going to get saved. Well, you know, I'm going to quit partying on Thursday night and then I'm going to finally come and know Jesus. Or I'm going to get married and finally settle down. Or I'm going to have my kids. And you know the game we play in our head. But guess what? Their day to meet eternity, to end their existence, was a surprise of all places. I'm talking engineering. Who would expect a gunman to walk in an engineering classroom? Maybe some of us humanities where we argue and batter philosophies, but engineering. They're making robots, for God's sake. Their lives ended, and they're not coming back. And they're never coming back to the spot they were in, and they ended. Did they know Jesus? I don't know. So don't tell me that it's not important to get this message out to everybody in your path. Because I guarantee you, for every living, breathing human soul, what they were thankful for at the moment that bullet split their existence from this realm to the next is that somewhere down the line in their short life's journeys, some human being took the time to tell them about Jesus Christ, to tell them about their sin, to tell them about a cross, and to tell them about a resurrection. Because in that split second moment, guess what? That's all that mattered. It didn't matter if they were a Baptist or a Methodist or a Pentecostal or a Presbyterian or a Catholic, or if they'd been to Campus Crusade or Fellowship of Christian Athletes or Navigators or Campus Plus Jesus Sum or whatever other organization had developed on campus. But what did matter, were they a part of the cross and resurrection? I hope all of them were, don't you? Well, let's stand together.
Pray with me. Father, you've told us right at the end of this section of Scripture that the most important thing we can do is lay down our lives. And Lord, I just ask right now that at this altar we would lay down our lives. Okay, I want you to look at me and keep your eyes open. God can communicate. You ready? Some of you came here today because you know Jesus Christ has brought you here today and you need Jesus in your life. I want you to know we jump up and down about that. Guess what? The greatest thing that can happen to you today is that you meet who? I want you to know that the majority of this church lives and breathes that kind of thing for you. Now, it doesn't stop there. After you meet Jesus, here's the good news. Guess what? You're going to keep meeting Him throughout all eternity. You're never going to get away from Him. And so today, I'm just going to ask you, if you don't know Jesus, why don't you tell Him right now, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my what? How many of y'all realize you've sinned? Okay, how are you going to get rid of it? Are you going to keep saying, I'm going to be good, I'm going to be good, I'm going to be good, I'm going to be good? Oh, I didn't think that one worked. Does that one work for y'all? That's about like this one. I'm not going to smoke, 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 I'm not going to... We're going to have to give it to somebody. Jesus. Tell Him, Lord Jesus, I've sinned. I believe You died on the cross. I believe You've risen from the grave. I believe You're real. Lord Jesus, come into my life. This is a great one right here. Jesus, I'm so confused, I don't know what's real. Show me. That'll work. Jesus, I really need to know You. That'll work. This is a great prayer. Help! It's a good prayer when it's like this. Jesus, help! Watch this. Jesus, I am so confused. This would be appropriate. Jesus, Your followers have literally confused me. You go, I know. Let me speak truth into your life. Make sense? I hope it's been clear today. You and I have sinned. We need Jesus. Come and get Him. He's already got you. Y'all know right now if you're sitting there, Jesus going, come on, I love You. You're going, I know, but not today. I got to sin one more week and then we'll get it together again. It'd be kind of like that song, Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon. For too long you dead and you've never connected. How many of y'all know Jesus wants something great in your life? Why don't you let Him do it? Huh? Young people, have you heard some things today? I want you to work. I know I sound as old-fashioned as your great-great-grandfather. But there's some truth in a lot of that stuff that we've forgotten. Yeah. I'm going to blow you all away. If we rolled the clock back 60 years ago, guess what? College students, most of you would be working and going to college. With no car. With a smile on your face. Most of you 20-something couples, if you owned a 2-bedroom house right now with 1 bathroom, with a patio, you were in a mansion. No high-definition TV. Yeah, awful. How did they survive? Let's pray. Lord, You know who you need to bring here to salvation. You already know who you need to bring to repentance. Lord, help us be convicted of the real thing. God, please, let us see that You have excellent things available for us and let us partake of them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Guess what? Y'all come on right now. This altar's open. I know some people are going to get saved today. Some of y'all are going to come to be baptized today. Some of y'all are just coming today because you just want to say, Lord, I get it. And I'm going to move on and do great things with you. Come on and let God have some powerful moments in your life. Nothing greater than what's going on right now with Jesus. Amen? All right, come as you need to come. Come on.